So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the only F1 podcast that is only ever on full wet. Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, selling weather systems to F1 teams since 2015.
Yeah, we just got McLaren on board this week.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the F1 podcast that has now won your heart 100 times.
It's probably more.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, like Alonso, we cut all the boring bits, like corners.
But not Listener's Corner, which will be appearing as usual.
We've done a focus group, and it turns out everything we do is shit.
I'm Tigo Ayres, and today from my incredible new house, where I live with my incredible new husband, we'll be talking about the incredible new Russian Grand Prix, which is now exciting. Norris was winning until he wasn't, Verstappen was losing until he wasn't, and Hamilton wasn't making the most of it until he was. Anyway, we'll cover that and anything else that happens to pop up along the way. That is all to come. Joining me is a motoring journalist who is ill. It is Phil Tromans.
This isn't actually news because I'm basically ill all the time now, because it turns out small children going to nursery with other small children basically just breed germ warfare and bring it home. I feel like I've had a cold for about a year.
Alongside him is a man who is also ill. Oh, for fuck's sake, Terry, what is wrong with you?
Well, I might have COVID.
Ah.
But I'm not sure.
If only there was a test.
I have had 5 Schnell tests, which is what we call Schnell tests, and 3 home tests, and they've all come back negative.
Right, so you probably haven't.
I'm really tired.
Okay.
And I'm like not feeling very well.
Oh, yeah, same.
Sounds like you're a bit sorry for yourself.
I also don't have COVID, so you might just be a parent.
But I do know a couple of people who have got COVID, and I have been out with them in various capacities, so I'm freaking out a little bit. So today I paid for, with my own hard-earned sponsor money from Formula One's sake, a PCR test, which in Germany costs 50 fucking euros.
Whoa, that's supposed to be on beer, Terry.
Well, they did let me drink the bit of fluid that's in
the
thing.
Yum, yum, yum. I have been on my honeymoon, thanks for asking.
Where'd you go?
Well, I decided to go on an exotic trip to the Scottish borders.
When you say you decided to go, did you go with?
I went alone. I decided it was. Have you ever been to the Scottish borders?
Yes. I've been to. Hang on. There's Carlisle and there's another depressing town that I've been to.
Jedburgh.
Where I did comedy gigs and died so hard.
I went on honeymoon on my own in a place called Denholm. It's an absolute shithole. And
where was Tom?
Where's Tom? Actually, he was with me, but he wishes he wasn't. I didn't research anything before I went, other than you could have taught me better. I didn't book anything other than an alpaca trekking day, and I didn't realize that there was
that on Peru.
I didn't realise that there was nothing to do in this place.
It's a village in Scotland. What did you expect?
I don't know.
It wasn't that alpaca, that died, was it?
Oh, the one of TB. Yeah. Well, these were alive, but I don't know. You talking about being ill, I could have TB now, and I'm not moaning, am I?
That would be the most cheeky holiday ever. Going, we went to this place. The only attraction is an alpaca, which just got put down the week before we got there.
Okay, it's listener's corner time, but only if you're sure you can manage it on these tyres. Let's start with lovely Lando Norris, who is all set at the Russian Grand Prix for his first win with a brilliant pole position and a dominant drive right up until his team didn't check the weather forecast. Now, Joshua Jake Stewart said, great race until it rained, and then the whole thing became a great Greek tragedy. I guess it was poetic that the rain gave Norris a chance and then the rain took it away again. I don't know, it just left me feeling sad. And then Ray Glennon said, am I the only one who checked the McLaren Group's job board this morning to see if they were hiring a new meteorologist? And Nick Peppel said, in F1, Lando loses the race right at the end. On the same day in IndyCar, McLaren's contender for the title is taken out by a backmarker at the season finale, thus losing the championship. The racing gods have decided to smite McLaren for their Monza hubris.
Well, lots to talk about there. Poor old Lando. Lovely, lovely Lando.
Was it, though?
Unlucky Lando.
Was he?
Who do you think went wrong here? Tell me.
McLaren's
Lando
weatherman.
Norris.
No, McLaren's weatherman.
Interesting.
No, they said, do you want to come in? He was like, no, I'm having too much fun, because it's like playing on the computer game, isn't it? But on the computer game, you can't get hurt.
They didn't say you should pit. They said, do you think we should have inters?
They said, because I went back and I listened to the radio like a spod, they said, the rain is going to continue at this intensity. So he basically said, you see how much it's raining now? It's going to carry on raining just like that. And he was like, no, this is fine. I can do this then. So he said, no, I won't come in. I'll stay out because I don't think under these conditions I'm going to lose 25 seconds, whatever it is I'd lose by pitting. The trouble was, it rained more. Mercedes knew it. McLaren should have known it. If they'd have told Lando, he'd have gone, right, I'm going to come in. I'm going to win the race like a cool guy. But they didn't. So he didn't. And he didn't.
Still, he should have pitted. I would have pitted.
You would have, okay.
I know he was, Lewis, but the thing is, this is my thinking at the time, right? Lewis Hamilton, this year, has been making mistakes.
Yes.
So if I was Lando Norris, I would pit to let Lewis Hamilton go in front of me. He still had enough gap to come back out in second, I think, I'm guessing. And then Lewis Hamilton would have fucked it up and gone into a wall, because that's what his year's been like.
Mm.
So Norris would have still won the race, and he would have pitted. That's what I'd have done in that situation.
Well, hopefully there'll be an opportunity in the new F1 game where you can recreate famous situations to see what you would do. Actually, that's a great idea. We should get in touch with Codemasters.
Well, they did do a version of that years ago, but it was all a bit... Because what I want in a new Formula 1 game is to get into the driver's head. And it kind of goes, oh, wiggle the stick if you're starting to bottle it. Oh, are you scared? Oh, press the trigger. Oh, no, yeah. What are you going to do?
Hamilton's annoyed you. Drive into him.
That's an option in the multiplayer.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I felt bad for Lando. Ultimately, you know, it was his decision, but he was only going with the information he'd been given, and it wasn't good information. And it just goes to show that to finish first you have to check the weather.
I didn't know McLaren were in IndyCar this year. They said that on Sky Sports, and I thought, that's a mistake. And apparently they are. There you go.
Apparently they nearly won it. I don't even know who's driving for them. At this point, IndyCar is basically American Formula E, isn't it?
So, amid the heartache for Norris, Lewis Hamilton picked up his 100th win, which is a lot more than anyone else has ever done. Naturally, our Facebook page was full of no one congratulating him. Mike Caddick said, well done to Lewis, but the young guard are snapping at your heels now. And Chris Bain said, great race for action, but a bit boring that after all of that chaos, we ended up with Hamilton and Verstappen at the top again.
I mean, it's impressive, isn't it? It's a good milestone. It's more than anybody else. It's a nice round number. It's not been a vintage Hamilton year, but, you know, he's grinding it out. He's leading the championship.
I mean, 100 is just daft, though, because if you look at the stats, it's like Schumacher was on, like, 70-something. And then there's a huge drop-off behind them.
It was 90. Was he 91 or something? I can't remember now.
Because they've both won multiple championships, seven, in seasons with like up to like 20 odd races. So it's just that idea of their race win number is so ludicrously high, and then it kind of the drop off, and it's like, because then you look at someone like Senna, who I think, how many races did Senna win? I'm going to Google it. Senna wins.
Well, it wouldn't have been that many because the seasons were
41.
15 races then?
Yeah, so Senna was in Formula One for like forever. Well, until he died, obviously. 10 years he did in Formula One, and he won 41 races, which just sounds a bit shit now.
Yeah, fewer opportunities. More of an event F1 back then, wasn't it? It wasn't like every weekend like it is now.
I mean, it's getting a bit exhausting. I think that's why I'm ill.
So while Hamilton was smashing it, his soon-to-be ex-teammate Valtteri Bottas wasn't. The Finn qualified nowhere, changed to a new engine to help him keep Max Verstappen behind him, and then basically waved him through. So Will Bowman said, does Bottas know he's driving for Alfa Romeo next year and not Alfa Tauri? He seemed to think that being dropped down the order was to provide Verstappen with a tow and an easy pass. James Nethercoat said, which was worse, Lando losing his first win or George last year at Bahrain losing his first win? Worth noting that both times Bottas was shit. But Ross Chaplin said, Bottas actually won the race for Mercedes. They pitted him before and saw he was much quicker than the front two and brought Lewis in because of it. That's interesting.
But also, James Nethercoat, good name, by the way. What does that mean? Nethercoat?
Nethercoat. It's just like trousers. Nether region. It's just trousers. James trousers.
Was it just a coat for your penis?
Yeah.
Like trousers. A little skirt.
I was thinking more like a condom, like a woolen, a tweed condom.
Tweed. Oh, we're back in the Scottish Borders, are we?
Aye.
Bottas had a bit of a shocker, didn't he?
What especially is, I was joking on Friday on Twitter that this is called the Valtteri Bottas testimonial race, because hasn't he won it every year for the last kind of 5 years?
And he has, and it's even called the VTB, like the sponsors.
Yeah,
of VTB.
Exactly. Mm. And it's like he always effortlessly wins it. It's almost like the whole team go, let him have that one. It's like when they let Ringo Starr sing a song on the Beatles. It's just like, go on, let him have Russia.
It's the Ringo of Mercedes.
So the fact that he was so shit is a measure of how far he's fallen.
I mean, he was terrible.
We never held him in high esteem, but no. He's really failed.
He had one job this week, which was to not let Verstappen through, and he didn't even put up the slightest fight. He might have just let him through.
You had the impression he didn't even know he was there. He was just like, oh, what the fuck is that? Well, what's that thing flying through the sky? Yeah. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Oh, it's him. That was my job. Oh, yes.
Yeah, guys, something just fell off my car. It looked a bit like a Red Bull. Yeah.
Shabby. He'll never get to a Red Bull. But what was worse? Lando losing his first win or George losing his first win? Because they're interesting, because they're both the team's fault. I say George's is the team fucking up.
Mm.
Whereas Lando's was McLaren's incompetence at buying logistical weather systems.
Yeah.
Which is less exciting on the telly. So I think George.
Okay.
George's was worse because he wasn't. It was his one shot in the car. I mean, as it turns out, not his one shot in the car because he's getting the whole season next year. But at the time, it was this is your one shot. Oh, yes, conspiracy yes, corner.
Yes. No, he is.
Raikkonen.
So in other news, Monaco is no more. Well, one day of Monaco is no more. Traditionally, the Monte Carlo Grand Prix is a four-day event with practice on Thursday, nothing on Friday, and then quali and the race on Sunday. But from next year, practice moves to Friday like everywhere else. And then there'll be support events on Thursdays. So it's still a four-day event, but just in a different order. That's not really news. I don't know why everyone has made such a fuss about it.
I was really hoping they were just going to cancel it.
I say about fucking time. There is nothing more tax-dodgingly elitist than saying, we're going to have a Grand Prix here, but you can't do anything on Friday because we're all fucking...
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Killing virgins or whatever they fucking do. I don't know what they do. I'd fucking... You know, we're all on our fucking yachts, fucking getting people, you know, spinning things on the floor and getting a servant to clean it up because we've got the power. Oh, we can't have a fucking... Why don't they have a race? Why don't they have practice on a Friday? What's the reason they always go?
Isn't it some religious or national holiday or something?
Ah, fuck them.
Wow. Vitriol. You know what I found out the other day?
You know Tempelhoferfeld, which I live near, which is where the Formula E race was?
Yes.
Tempelhoferfeld is bigger than Monaco.
Wow.
So fuck you, Monaco. My local park is bigger and there's less yachts, admittedly.
Yeah, fewer, yeah.
Fuck you, Phil. Oh my God. Oh.
And
you know what? I want to see 21 Monaco Grand Prix in a year, and just to fuck you off.
What, for my insistence on correct grammar?
Is it correct? It's correct in the old style of not understanding how people actually talk. Yeah. You got to get with the times, man.
The old style when people were right, yeah.
Finally, anyway, there is a new F1 documentary out on Netflix. No, not Drive to Survive. It is called Schumacher, and it is a look at the career and the life of 1996 Formula Nippon champion Ralf Schumacher. Ha, just a little joke there because Ralf was mostly shit. It is about Michael. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
What did you think?
Fucking shit.
Wow.
Oh, why did you think it was shit?
One, the fucking captions were all over the place.
They were.
When they kept going, oh, this is James Allen, he's a commentator. Oh, this is James Allen, no, he's not a commentator, he's like an executive. Oh, this is James Allen, he's like a mate. Yeah, here's Eddie Jordan, he's the team. Here's Ralf Schumacher, brother. Here's Ralf Schumacher, driver. Wait, he's brother and driver. Just put in the fucking caption, Ralf. Anyone watching this knows who the fuck Ralf Schumacher is. And it was just so tackily done. The music in it was so fucking awful. Yeah. It just of like going, oh, we're going to have a dramatic bit now. Turns out, without all the Netflix cameras, Formula One coverage isn't very dramatic. Put some like computer game music on the background. Oh, and just, it was boring. And then they tease the whole thing at the end, like they're going, oh, they've revealed in the documentary some things on Harry Michael is and all this stuff. But then he gets to it, and it's just his wife going, oh, you know, he's a bit different these days. Is that it? Are we still the same Michael, except, you know, can't talk or move? Yeah.
But we're giving him some privacy, which is the bit I like.
Yeah, we're giving him some privacy. And like, you know that anyone who's not a Formula One fan watching that is watching it. They're skipping through to get to the bit where they can see him in a wheelchair, and it's like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it was just... And the thing is, Schumacher's story is, I'm sorry, a little boring.
Well, have you seen it, Chica?
Yeah.
What do you make of it?
I thought it was good. It was nice to go back and see everything, things you forget. There was a bit where David Coulthard talked about their run-in, and he was like, yeah, I don't think it was entirely my fault, I don't think. But clearly he was like, fucking bastard, it was totally his fault.
And then they cut to that clip of the two of them on stage doing something. It's like, look, clearly they like each other in this thing filmed before the incident we're talking about. Yeah. Oh, it was awful. I think the thing is, from a stylistic point of view, we've been spoiled. Senna was fucking just the editing and the visuals were amazing. The Netflix stuff where they've got all these kind of behind the scenes fancy camera angles are amazing. This was just like, it was just like a kind of, so I've got a bunch of like VHS, like straight to VHS kind of Formula One documentaries from like the late 90s. And it was the same kind of quality of that. This was, if you saw a VHS with Schumacher in a charity shop, it could exactly be this. It didn't feel very modern. It felt very kind of old fashioned.
I didn't feel quite as strongly as that. I broadly agree with Terry's sentiments that it just felt a bit kind of like it finished and I was like, oh, is that it? I couldn't understand who it was really aimed at, because if it was aimed at Formula One enthusiasts, there wasn't that much in there that we didn't already know about his career or about how he is now. The main thing I sort of took away was where there was some cool footage that I hadn't seen before. Like, they clearly raided the Formula One archives and got some cool in-car stuff and, you know, longer shots that you wouldn't have seen in the broadcast. So I was like, okay, that's quite cool, that's great to see. And I actually thought that some of the stuff from the home movies is like gave him a bit more insight as to what he was like out of the car. And he seems like a nice guy. Because I'll be honest, I've never been a big Schumacher fan. I thought he was a bit of a dick on track. I sort of softened my view to him a little bit. But
look, no matter what's happened with Schumacher over the years, I cannot get behind his jewellery choices.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the trouble with rich people. The richer you are, the worse your fashion is. But the thing is, if you don't follow F1 and you were turned into this because you'd heard the name and you wanted to know anything about it, there was so much in there that just didn't explain it to you unless you knew. Like, it didn't even say, as far as I can tell, it didn't at any point say that his son's a Formula One driver. So they're interviewing Mick at the end and he's like, I think we could talk the language of motorsport. If you don't follow F1, you'd be like, what? What's he talking about? I don't understand. There's just so, and like the accident never said what happened to him. It's like there was some skiing, there was an accident. It's like, well, what happened? Did he go off a cliff? Did he fall over? Did he hit it by an avalanche? What happened? Like, they seem to just suddenly skip to the end.
That whole bit was so weird.
And it's like, well, of course, okay, you're sad. Of course, you're sad. But as a sort of insight into Schumacher, I thought it was pretty lacking. It's worth seeing if you're a Formula One fan, just for the sort of the footage that you haven't seen before. But I don't think you're going to particularly learn anything new from it. One star.
I'll give it one.
Well, in our Formula One film reviews, it ranks probably above Frank and below Senna. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
how many have you done? Three?
Nothing.
And also, here's the thing. Did they not show like an overly graphic clip of Senna's crash?
Yeah.
There was quite a lot of that, wasn't there? Which, considering they didn't show anything remotely, like even Schumacher's leg breaking crash, they didn't really show that much of.
It blurred the whole thing out.
So I've seen the Senna crash on YouTube when you're having one of those late nights of like, I want to watch how someone died kind of thing. But on all the official, the Senna documentary and all the kind of official stuff, they don't show the fucking impact. They show a kind of, they cut away and they show like the camera, the in-car cameras or something. But that was just kind of brutal, just going, and then he had this rival that he was trying to beat. Whoops, he's dead. Hey, yeah. Bye.
It was kind of like, oh, there he is into the wall, and here he is working, he's coming out of the car, and here's them loading him into the helicopter, and there's the helicopter flying away. Anyway, he died. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you about the music as well. I was kind of expecting them to start putting Fix You by Coldplay in the sad bit, but, you know.
And it turns out we can't.
Anyway, it's a recommendation overall from me.
I don't think it is for me.
If you're an F1 fan, I think you should see it, but then you probably won't want to watch it again. The footage I hadn't seen before, I was like, yeah, that's cool. And it was in, you know, upscaled 4K or whatever it is, which looked good.
I watched it on my laptop.
Oh, okay. No, not so much then.
Tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, though, if you think we are right, sure, that is fine. And that is what these people did. Daniel Kedney, who said, pint, pint, pint. Lando definitely needs a pint too after that race. But since he doesn't have a donate button, you'd better have it instead.
Oh, thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, I'll have it.
Yeah.
Cheeky, you probably shouldn't have it because me and Philip both got cold, so...
Yeah, we need all the beer we can get.
Thanks, guys. Adam McConkie says, a mediocre podcast at best, but outstanding when it comes to bib recommendations. Bought some last week, so here is Phil's commission on the sale.
Fucking hell. Bibardo, guys. It's the way to go. You want to stop a small child getting covered in crap. There's nothing better. Pint, pint, pint. Thank you, Adam.
Honestly, I'm going back to the idea where you just want to have some like scrubbing station. It's like whenever she eats, just put her outside the front door.
Power
hose.
Like,
cat litter tray full of bleach.
That genuinely would be easier, but I don't think social services would be that happy.
Oh, they're really stretched at the minute. I wouldn't worry about it.
No, actually, maybe I could get away with it.
And Kyle Glover, who says, Chico, keeping you two ADD deplorables on track. I mean, it was like watching Ferrari. No bloody strategy for delivery.
Is this talking about the episode, Kyle, we did on our own? I thought that was all right.
I don't give a shit. Just you know what? We're trying. You know, you try doing a podcast for 5 years. Six years with a limited fan base and a cold. Yeah, fuck you, Kyle.
Are you calling
your beer money back?
Are you calling our fan base limited? It's a bit harsh.
Look, okay, you're getting pints for bib recommendations. I'm getting them for keeping it together.
Yeah, and holiday recommendations of where not to go.
What are you doing, Terry? What are you bringing to this?
I bring my own fucking beer, because in Germany there are no fucking shortages. How are the empty shelves over there?
Lack of CO2.
I'm in the supermarket.
Oh, we've got our shelves just fucking petrol everywhere.
Just full of petrol. They're making food out of petrol now, are they?
Yeah,
so much of it.
Yeah, but
Well, I think that's why I'm ill.
Yeah, but you're ill, Terry, but, you know, you'd have to pay to get it sorted out.
That's true.
Look, the German healthcare system is amazing, and I think it rivals the NHS in every way except for the €277 a month I have to pay for it.
Ooh, wow.
Nasty.
You just don't notice that because it's all in your taxes, man.
I mean, we pay for the NHS, so it's kind of similar.
All right.
But it doesn't come out of your bank saying NHS every month, and you're like, oh, fuck.
I wouldn't have a problem if it did.
I haven't been to the doctor in like 4 months. I should go. I mean, maybe I should just go for this cold just so I can get my money's worth.
I was going to say, if you're ill, now seems like a good time to go to the doctor.
I've got the British mentality of being ill, which is you never go to the doctor because you don't want to bother them. They seem quite busy.
My heart has fallen out of my chest. I don't want to bother them. Anyway, thanks, Kyle.
And
oh yeah, sorry. Thanks, Kyle. Oh no, fuck
cheers.
Off, Kyle.
No, thank you, Kyle. I appreciate that. And thanks to Peter Shardlow.
Thank Shardlow.
Peter. Peter Shard.
Do your shards hang low, Candy Swick, to and fro.
Oh, we have degenerated.
I'm sorry, Peter. It's like being bullied in a school playground.
Yeah, Peter Shardlow. Oh, is it in your socks?
I'm sorry, Peter. I don't know all where right. that came from. We're ill, we've been drinking, but we do appreciate the pint. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry.
And to Chris Phillips. Make fun of that.
Screwdriver. He, sounds like he brought us a screwdriver, a cocktail called a screwdriver, because it's a Phillips screwdriver. Brilliant.
Yeah, that'll do.
Also, God, Phillips is my name, so what a guy.
And Chris is my name.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's Chris. Well, of course, it's short for Christery.
Oh, true, yeah. And another Chris.
Oh.
Chris Stenison. Stenison's
Chris.
My name.
Can you lend us a Stenison? Lend us a...
I'm ill, that was funny.
Yeah, that's all right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everyone that's got interesting names. We do have some interesting names in our audience, don't we?
That was one of the things about the Schumacher documentary, was how fucking French Jean Todt was.
Oh, he's very French. Like, and how, and how German Willy Weber is as well.
But when you see Jean Todt in French with a silk scarf talking French, you're like, fuck me, this guy's French.
Yeah. But also Willy Weber's face, he's had a lot of work done.
He's looking weird, isn't he? I reckon it's Schumacher. We'd lost a plastic surgery. I don't want to be recognised anymore. Well, why don't you become your agent? And Willy Weber is in a wheelchair.
Cut that bit. Like, right, okay, moving on.
Like a prancing horse.
Moving on. And thank you to...
Oh, moving on. Like they moved on with his Mercedes career. They went, oh, and he came back to Mercedes.
Oh, they did.
Turns out he left because he wanted to spend time with his family.
Yeah.
And how did that go, mate, eh?
Oh, God. I was just going to have a new section where it's just the equivalent of Birdsong. Okay, good.
And thank you to our monthly donors keeping us in beer all year long. And this week we are going to celebrate William Boyce.
Thank you, William.
Charlie Fraser. Hi. Jenny you, and Ralph Brynard. Andrew Cunningham and Bryce Dude. Davies. And if you enjoy what we do, whatever that is, tell us by going to ff1s.com/pint. I never had a team come true till the day that I found you. Even though that I pretend that I've moved on, you'll always be my baby. Good. Mercedes.
It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun to stop and just watch you two carry on than it is to actually take part in that.
Yeah, that's the story of the podcast.
Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton, 100 wins, the championship lead, and the first ever driver to win at Sochi outside the top three. But if anybody should be holding up the trophy here, it should be the Mercedes weather person. If it wasn't for the rain, would Hamilton have been able to pass Norris?
Ooh, possibly not, the way it was going. Norris said at the end, it's like, no, I still had charge left for boost, super duper boost mode, and, you know, just sort of keeping the gap, really. So I think he might have struggled, to be honest.
And Norris sounded extremely relaxed on the radio, didn't he? Pre-rain. Yeah. pre-rain.
Yes, pre-rain. Yeah, no, he did. Well,
he was like, yeah, I'll be fine.
Once it started raining, he said, oh, shut up!
Yeah, yes, but, die!
Why do they all have their own weather systems? I don't understand this.
BBC Weather.
Remember years ago?
Reliable.
Remember 1 year ago, Max Mosley did this big thing saying, what's ridiculous in Formula One is they spend all this money on, like, different bolts and nuts when they could just get, like, a standard one, but they're trying to shave a millimetre off to shave a gram here and there. And I'm just like, just give them all fucking wet. Just give them all the CFAX or something. Just what? How much are they spending? How much are McLaren spending on weather?
Not enough. Clearly.
Lost them a fucking race.
Yeah.
Be like Monday, exactly. Sun, Tuesday, rain.
They'd be better off. They'd be better off paying someone whose job is to sit on the pit wall, but just like lean back and look at the other team's screens.
Yeah,
that would be more effective. Give me that job for 80 grand a year, and all I've got to do is go, yeah, it's going to rain. It's going to rain.
I think they should, like the rules about, you know, doing away with radio and stuff, I think they should have like three people that are allowed to post at different places around the circuit, and they've got a walkie-talkie, and they basically have to sit there with just like holding their finger up and going, ooh.
Not even a fucking walkie-talkie, it's semaphore.
Yeah, a system of flags. Yeah. Oh, bibs. Or they should have...
This podcast is sponsored by Bibberino, your subscription bib service. For only $8.99 a month, we send you 4,000 bibs, because that's how many you fucking need, because babies are disgusting.
It'd be fucking great if I could get 4,000 for $8.99. They're bloody expensive, Bibberdos. They're good.
How many did you get through?
How much is a bib?
They're 20 quid.
How much is a bib?
20 quid.
Fucking hell.
20 quid a bib?
Yeah.
But do you use them forever?
Do you remember when you had a go at me?
Once she's an adult, probably not, no.
Do you remember when you had a go at me for having a £60 haircut and you're buying bibs for 20?
Yeah, but I've got four of them now, so I don't need any more.
You've spent £80 on bibs.
Mate, of all the things you need to buy for a child, that is a drop in the ocean. Children are very expensive.
Jesus. What's the most expensive
thing you've bought for your child?
Nursery education.
Me and Chica are going to do a local radio show together. It's going to be like, hey, so we've got Phil Tremors on the line from Hayward's Heath. What is the most expensive thing you've bought for your child?
Well, I think it's Brexit, Terry. Nursery is insane. I didn't realise how much nursery cost until I had already had a child.
Because in Germany, I actually have no idea.
It is significant.
I rather foolishly didn't know that you had to pay for it until the child had already arrived. And then they said, oh, yeah, you've got to pay for it.
How much is it?
I was like, all right, how much? Well, she goes at the moment...
Should have worn a condom.
At the moment, she goes 3 days a week and it's £800 a month.
Fuck off.
Oh, my God.
Not even one of the expensive ones.
Fucking hell, yeah. I could run a nursery.
Welcome to Phil's new podcast, killing. Fucking parenting.
Nothing puts me off parenting more than you, Phil. I'm not gonna
lie. You're welcome.
I haven't got kids, and look how happy I am.
Sit there.
So what we're saying is, either have kids or don't. It's not what's important to your happiness.
Anyway,
well,
that's why
be Phil or
that's
be
why
Terry.
Thinking inside yourself.
That's why I think that Hamilton wouldn't have been able to pass Norris.
Oh, yeah, Formula One.
Yeah. God. Sorry, I thought we were on fucking parenting then. Yes. So he wouldn't have been able to pass Norris.
Well, maybe he would.
Okay.
Red Bull. We talked about Bottas, didn't we? Bottas was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Red Bull. I hadn't actually planned to think about Verstappen much this season.
This season?
probably should have given some thought.
It's that bad research again, isn't it?
Yeah. I hadn't actually planned to think about Verstappen much this weekend, but you kind of got to give it to him. He qualified 20th and finished in second, which is pretty impressive. Was it his excellent overtakes or the ace team pit timing for Inters that meant he got up to second?
Timing for Inters.
I feel like he just skipped a lap.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
What, like Hamilton did a few races back?
It was just that thing where he was suddenly second. And he just like, when no one was watching, did they just like, I guess it's just someone in the pits just has to press the lap button every time they go past. Do they just press it twice? Because it just feels like, I'm not saying he was cheating, but it does look suspicious.
That is cheating.
That is cheating. I am saying he was cheating.
Right.
Red Bull cheated by skipping her lap.
Okay.
No, he basically, he did pretty well. He got up to about 8th or 7th or something like that before the rain came. And then as he came in, if you watch his in lap, he overtook... Ricardo, wouldn't it? Ricardo and Sainz coming into the pit. So he got two places then, and then he did it at the perfect time to get back out again and overtake everybody else. So Red Bull called him in at exactly the right time, basically, and that got him the rest of the way. He'd have done all right to get, you know, a small haul of points if it hadn't rained, but the rain flattered him. And he's good at the rain, in fairness.
True. He did well.
Yeah.
Well done.
Perez, however.
You're right. His tyre gamble went wrong, but he couldn't blame it on the weatherman because his mate got it right. But the question I want to ask you is, earlier this week, Christian Horner was at the James Bond premiere. What role would Horner play if he was in a James Bond film?
Me.
Right.
Of course. We have inside experience of James
How
Bond
many
characters.
Times have you been in Bond? Oh, you have been in a fucking Bond film.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
Sorry. Yes. What was I Shut thinking?
Yes. New listeners should probably know about this.
I was in a James Bond film. That's the story.
Which one was it?
And what part did you... What role did you play, Terry?
Geeky spot in the background when Q's underground unrealistic lair gets hacked.
Yeah, it was tremendous.
Great.
This was in Skyfall.
I was very depressed, and at one point on the day, I was there for 3 days at Pinewood Studios, I was super depressed, and at one point, Daniel Craig, as James Bond, runs past me, because I'm sat like on a chair, and he has to run past me. It's like a cut scene where he does a little kind of lap dance. And everyone's like, whoa, mate, you should probably look. I know this guy's attractive, but, you know, the world's on fire. The world is not enough. And
there's no time to die.
Where there is a point where Daniel Craig, as James Bond, not even Daniel Craig the actor, but Daniel Craig being James Bond, runs past me with, like, a couple of inches away from me. And I should be thinking, fuck me, that's cool. And I was just going to go, yeah, it's a bit shit, isn't it?
Wow.
So,
but was it actually,
kids.
Was it ever in the film?
The running bit was the table dance, the lap dance. I think they cut.
So more, we,
but you are in it
because otherwise
you
the film
him.
Was, yeah.
Okay, right. So we're saying that Horner
Christian
would be
Horner would be me.
Would be.
I
you.
Think he'd be one of the really shit henchmen, that like the quite ineffective one that is usually one of the first to get killed by Bond.
Okay.
Let's face it, would be a better role for me. Like, it would be like James Bond comes in and he goes, I've got a cracked rib, mate, so just go easy on me and then get my head cut off.
Big carting, so...
I'm ill.
Oh, I'm really ill. It might be COVID.
I'm
so
just
you,
waiting
I mean,
for a
you
test.
Can punch me,
yeah.
You can punch me, but I'm not wearing a mask because I'm in Britain, bizarrely. And you can punch me, but you might get COVID, James Bond. That should be the whole plot of No Time to Die, is James Bond just going, wear a fucking mask.
it would get very bad numbers in the UK at the moment, unfortunately, because
yeah.
Everyone's a twat. Never mind.
In Germany, we like following orders, and that's never gone badly in the past.
McLaren! I feel so sorry for Norris, but not because of what happened on the track, but because of what happened afterwards. Everybody's been saying, oh, they want to hug him and they felt sorry for him. But that is why I feel sorry for him. He drove a great race and he cocked it up at the end and he won't do it again. I also feel sorry for him because he tweeted, head high, my time will come. Terry, would you tell the hypothetical FF1S racing team that you are hypothetically driving for to shut up if we told you to come in for a tyre change?
I question the legitimacy of this question because we all know if I was in the... I mean, if there was...
This is the branding.
Look, if I was in the FF1S racing team, if there was an FF1S racing team... I don't think Chica, me or you would even get a test driver role. Phil, I think, would be a good number two driver.
I'd stand at the back with headphones, I think.
Yeah, but...
I'd do promotional days in Riga.
So the idea that I would make it to the pit stops...
Hypothetical!
Especially if it was raining. Yeah, even hypothetically, I cannot imagine... me getting to the pit stops.
Let's say our washed-up world champion from 15 years ago has got COVID and we needed a reserve driver and we brought you in.
And you bring me in and go, Terry, can you think of a reserve driver?
Yeah.
Of course I tell the team to fuck off. I'll do it anyway.
Your default position.
Fuck off!
Every single communication throughout the race.
Okay, we're just going to do a bite point check. Fuck off! What are all these buttons?
Yeah. instead of having a pit confirm button, you just to acknowledge that you'd heard the message.
Fuck off!
Shut up!
Well, that's kind of how Formula One's going. As always, I'm a trailblazer because the drivers are getting more and more shitty on the radio. And I think that's my influence in the Formula One world.
Okay, Terry, get in there. That's P1, mate.
Fuck off. It's not P1, it's winner. Why are you always saying P? What P number? That is stupid. I hate that in Formula One. You're first, you're second, you're third, you're fourth. We've got words in the English language up to 20th that we can use for position. What position am I in? I'm 17th. Oh, are you P17? No, 17th is quicker than saying P17. There's a whole less syllable if you say 17th. And who gives a shit if you're 17th? Why do you need to know? Fuck off.
That's good. Yeah, you tell
them. Touched a nerve. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on from that because it hasn't gone down well, has it? Ricardo. Everyone is talking about his teammate, but he came fourth, didn't he? That's pretty good.
Did he come in fourth?
He did well in terms of he finished fourth when a lot of other drivers went off ahead of him. He's definitely doing better than he was the first half of the season. He won the last race, but, you know, let's not get cocky.
All right, then.
He's still particularly. It wasn't quite so bad during the race, but particularly in qualifying, he still looked that he couldn't drive the car that well, which makes me think that Monza was an absolute fluke. But then he fluked to fourth. So what do I know? I don't know. Well done, I guess.
All right then, Ferrari. Sainz stepped up and reminded us that he's a good driver in a currently not that exciting car. And Leclerc also had a great drive until he did a Norris and stayed out too long. But were you surprised at how well they did, kind of considering everything?
Yes.
Because I was.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'm just kind of... I find it hard to keep caring about Ferrari, to be honest. Something about the fact that they're all... That everyone's like, they're the greatest team ever, when they haven't won anything in bloody ages, sort of puts me off them
Well,
now.
Going back to the Schumacher thing, is you forget that Schumacher won their first championship since, like, 1979 or something ridiculous. And then... What, since Schumacher, it's only Raikkonen that's won, isn't it? And that was a fluky...
A title, yeah.
You know, he won by mistake.
Oh, yes. I don't think he was even trying to win it.
Exactly. So it's been like another 20 years and it's just like, oh, do you know what? Fuck Ferrari.
Fuck off.
Fuck them. It all went downhill when they opened like Ferrari World in Dubai. You're just like, I cannot get... Anyone who supports this team...
It's in Abu Dhabi, actually.
Oh!
It's a different Emirate, Terry.
All those Emirates look the same to me.
Wow. Classic Austrian.
No, Austria's a very different country.
Oh, is it? Is it? Well, Abu Dhabi's a very different emirate from Dubai, I'll have you know. Anyway. I went to Ferrari World not long after it opened. Actually, I went while it was being built and I looked around it, but I went not long after it opened and I was like, has one really amazing roller coaster and the rest of it's just kind of like,
Yeah, like Ferrari.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty decent.
Chica and Phil, I'm going to ask you both a question about Ferrari. So, same question to number one and number two. If you see a Ferrari in the street, do you think, ooh, or do you think, wanker?
I mean, I think,
wanker.
Ooh. I think, ooh, because I like cars. And I have to say, well, the brand largely leaves me cold. The cars are amazing. The road cars are amazing.
Yeah, but the people who own the cars.
Yeah, that is not
Jamiroquai,
always...
Chris Evans.
Yeah, that's not always inaccurate. But the cars themselves, I mean, been lucky enough to drive a few of them. They are... You get in there and you go, oh, god damn it, it's really good. I mean, you almost want to hate it because the brand in so many ways is so insufferable. And then you drive the car and you're like, fuck, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's wankers, to be honest.
That sounds like a radio transmission. Yeah, okay.
Aston Martin. Well, these guys look shit. Inter-team contact and the re-emergence of gobby radio Vettel. Do you think Vettel holds a grudge?
I didn't hear gobby radio Vettel. What did he say?
He was... What was he shouting about? God. I think it was...
The weather, probably. He's getting old. The Germans love the fucking weather. That's what I've learned.
Not like the Brits.
Jesus Christ. No, we think the Brits have got the fucking top dog on talking about the weather. Nothing compares to the Germans, really? Honestly.
Do we think Vettel holds a grudge? No, I don't think Vettel holds a grudge. I think I think he doesn't care about Formula One anymore, really. He's just
But why was just Christian happy. Horner... Why was Christian Horner at the premiere of James Bond and not the people from the Aston Martin team?
He probably got a plus one with Jerry Spice Girl.
Remember also... Remember, yeah, I was going to say, he's married to Spice Girl. Spice Girl's a national treasure.
James Bond's a national treasure... Ergo.
Yeah. Quid.
And plus, there were loads of... There were at least two motoring journalists I know who were at the premiere as well, so they were inviting pretty much anyone. Not me.
Why weren't you there?
I didn't get an invite, and I was in it.
Not this one, though. You're in one of the old, better ones.
They used some of the old footage. I'm like Peter Cushing in the new Star Wars. They just, like, they've scanned my body.
They got the digital...
I am actually the extra in every scene of every film from now on. It's just me.
That would be amazing if in the background there's, like, a CGI Terry Saunders just looking up going...
You know there's the Wilhelm scream that they use in films?
Yes.
That I'm the Wilhelm person.
You're Wilhelm.
You Wilhelm. In the background. Yeah. Every CGI character you see in film... is based on me.
Yeah, Smaug, Gollum.
No, the background ones. No, I'm not. You King know, Kong. That's Andy Serkis. Okay. I'm all the background people.
Were you played by Andy Serkis?
Played by, or am I Andy Serkis? You know,
AlphaTauri.
Speaking of getting off track,
Jesus Christ, Tsunoda is a fucking. Sorry, I'm not even going to let you have your comment.
No, no,
just,
yeah, go on, go on.
No,
sorry, I don't know why. I mean, you know, apparently I'm holding this team together, but go on, you do it. Let's see what...
Sorry,
see
Chica.
No,
please
Terry,
read
come
your
on.
Paragraph.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't write numbers. You're going to take the piss, so off you go. Go on, you read it. Go on.
No, Chica, I want to hear it.
No, I'm not doing it.
Gasly makes Vettel look kind of forgiving, though, after some team time mistakes. He called Sochi a weekend to forget. Not likely, mate. Tsunoda was awful again. The only team he could beat was Haas. The shame.
Tsunoda. He's back in for next
come
year.
Come on, Chica. You be me now. Go on. Do a Terry comment on this.
Blah, 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 blah. Whoa. Fuck you.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
All right. Okay, so for Comet Relief this year, we should do a charity swap-a-thon. I don't care about AlphaTauri. I don't care about Alpine. I don't care about Alfa Romeo. Let's go to the standings with Terry Saunders.
What about Williams?
Do you want to talk about Tsunoda?
He's terrible. Terrible. I can't believe he's got a drive.
He's terrible.
He's had a lot of races. He's not
take the
got any good.
Can I mute Terry?
Gasly was very angry. Gasly was very angry all weekend. He basically accused the team of completely screwing everything for him, and
which they kind of did.
Yeah.
So,
but,
all right.
You
then.
Know, shame. But Tsunoda, I can't believe he's got another. I can't believe he's got another year. He's terrible.
I know.
He's uniformly terrible. He's sort of hilarious in his character, but you've got to back that up with good driving, and he hasn't. And they should get rid of him and bring, I don't know, some other sacrificial Red Bull Academy driver in.
Bless. Alpine! Alonso was ace. He overtook Verstappen at one point. He got the best finish of the season, even if it is only sixth. Ocon also thought the rain couldn't touch him, though. Do you think if it rains in the next couple of races that they will all pit immediately? Because I don't think anyone is going to risk it now.
I think they're all going to start the next few races on Inters. Just to be Look, I've come out of my stroppy retirement, because how did Alonso cut the first fucking 8 corners of the first lap and not get in trouble?
Well, not only did he do that, he also rehearsed it during practice, I think, because Karun Chandhok pointed it out. He was like, oh, Alonso there is just scoping out the start. And then lo and behold, that's exactly what he did.
He's been rehearsing that move since Singapore 2008, isn't he? It's just like, oh, how can I cheat in this race?
That was 13 years ago, Jesus.
And never forget.
Anyway. Yeah, no, it was a bit cheeky, but you can sort of get away with that at the opening lap. It's like, oh, the craziness, I had to jump everything and get a brilliant position. you know, he was a wily old fox, isn't he?
Mm.
He's still not going to win another championship.
Bless him. Alfa Romeo. So we all thought Raikkonen wouldn't come back after his alleged COVID, but it seems that coronavirus actually did him some good. He finished in the points and knew when to pit. Giovinazzi...
That is one of the symptoms of long COVID.
Giovinazzi, however, had his radio hacked by the Russians and so missed all the useful chat about tyre changes. Would he have been any good if he did have radio?
Phil, take the fifth on that question because my state of F1 is all about that very subject.
All right. Who knows? I don't know.
Williams! Russell was in third place on the grid and I, for some reason, thought, oh my God, is he going to get a podium? Then I remembered he is in a Williams and he was lucky to scrape a point.
It was quite funny. He did manage to stay in, I think it was third, for quite a long time, didn't he? Because until it started raining and going crazy, it was quite hard to overtake at Russia.
Hmm.
And he just had a big old train of cars behind him. He was just going... Dum, 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 dum.
Rain should be a rule in Sochi. Because otherwise, it's a boring Sprinklers. Track.
Yeah, the longer time goes on... said it and we all mocked him. The longer time goes on, the more Bernie looks like he was right.
Yes.
That was Ina Kleiner Haas music by Terry Saunders and Phil Trimans.
Well, he's talking to which... Why the fuck did they do the national anthem? I don't know what the reason was for that.
I missed it. What happened?
Did they actually give a
they
reason?
They did.
They said, we're not doing the national anthem. Here's some ballerina doing like Tchaikovsky or
is
something.
It, no, I was going to say, is it anything to do with them being banned from the Olympics? But but motorsport's not an Olympic sport yet, so I don't know.
And they don't give a shit about
it. That's weird. Mm. It's a shame as well, because the Russian national anthem is a banger.
It's fucking good, isn't it?
What is it? It's good. It's one of the good ones. So it's a bit of a shame. Bring out a massive 60 strong voice, male voice choir, bang it out. Everyone's like, yes, Russia. But they didn't.
That's a shame.
But then it was a good race, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but it would have been the absolute icing on the cake, couldn't it?
So what actually happened? There was a ballerina on a piano.
Yeah.
God, that shit, isn't
it? And all the drivers had to look at her, and they were all obviously kind of ogling a bit, to the point that I reckon that they're... I did my favourite tweet ever, which was...
Are you plugging your own tweet?
No, I just... You know when you do a tweet and you're like, fuck, this is going to go viral? Yeah. And I think you got like two
always
likes.
Always does, yeah.
And the tweet was, watching all the drivers ogle this ballerina... was they're going to have some difficulty getting into the car.
like a bonus. Because of the penis, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and the halo.
It's weird that only got two likes, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a fucking good tweet, that. They're going to have difficulty.
Yeah, no, yeah,
what
yeah,
a great word.
Yeah, no, fine, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I
and
don't know
the
if,
halo.
Like, maybe that's just you that fancies ballerinas on.
There was definitely one shot of one of the drivers, who even just like doing that kind of like...
well, kind of neck, well, like he was in sort of some 60s sex
again?
Comedy.
okay. Anyway, back to Haas.
Oh, fuck Haas. No. Yeah, whatever. One of them died, one of them didn't. I don't know. What.
Mazepin was finally welcomed back to the motherland, and to celebrate, he decided to adopt the national tradition of aggressive defensive moves. Nazdrovia! What do you think Russian F1 fans think of their comrade?
I tell you now, Chica, you doing a Russian accent gives me flashbacks to my dumping earlier this year. So
I thought you were going
to
say my time on the James Bond film, but okay.
No, she would often say Nazdrovia.
What, when she dumped you? Thanks for that. Bye. Nazdrovia!
I
then
think
she'd hum the Russian
in the grand
national
tradition of aggressive defensive moves. Nazdrovia.
And then
fuck off.
Shut up!
Wow.
I
Jesus
would like
Christ.
To think that Mazepin is
was
the
most
liked of the Russian effort.
She was Russian, yes.
We've been through this, Chica.
I know, but...
I'm in James Bond, and
I just wanted to bring it up again.
A Russian double agent.
That's
the only reason I can see. And then she was just like, oh, you have no agency. Oh, you're being very... codependent.
Wow. Putin was nominated as the most attractive man in Russia this year.
And he got driver of the day.
All of which brings us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
In first place with 100 wins, it's Lewis Hamilton. In second place, there's 90 fans for every critical tweet. It's fucking Max Verstappen. In third place, 80 days till I'm out of here, it's Valtteri Bottas. Fourth place, 70 ignored messages to pit, it's Lando Norris. Fifth place, 60 laps on the inters, it's Sergio Perez. Sixth place, 50 ways to leave your teammate in the dust, it's Carlos Sainz. So from now on, it's I'm bored and tired and drunk. So it's going to be a Christmas song. So in seventh place, it's Charles Leclerc with 12 taxes not paying. Eight is Ricardo. 11, Chew is drinking. 10 teammates are thrashing Gasly. 9, corners cutting Alonso. 8, Esteban's and Oconing Ocon. 7, Sebs are sweeping Vettel. 6, races fucked up Stroll. 5, gold ring Tsunoda. 4, calling cards Russell. 3 more chances to kiss George, that's Latifi. 2, races missed Raikkonen. Alan Partridge, Giovinazzi.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everyone.
And then I thought, for the teams, because weather's in the news, we should do the weather systems that the teams use. And then I remembered a song from my childhood. And I didn't remember that the first line of this song has a Formula One driver in it. So it's perfect. So, in first place with Mercedes, Ayrton Senna's got the voice of a tenor. In second place, Peter Snow sings very low, is Red Bull. In third place, Mark Burrano is a soprano, that's McLaren. And in fourth place, John Ketley is a weatherman, a Ferrari. Fifth place, John Ketley is a weatherman, Alpine. John Ketley is a weatherman, and so is Michael Fish, AlphaTauri. Simon Parkin's always larking, Aston Martin. Eric Lane is the same. Jonathan Ross collects moss. And John Ketley is a weatherman. John Ketley is a weatherman, and so is Michael Fish.
Fish.
So next week for the standings, I'll be doing that spitting image song, Throw a Chicken in the Air, and other songs, other novelty songs from the 80s.
Brilliant. I look forward to the stonk.
And now for the man of the match of driving. Lando Norris.
Verstappen.
Wow.
That guy that fucked it up. Interesting.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
The hero of the Russian Grand Prix was Antonio Giovinazzi, who had to get his beautiful head around that bewilderingly strategy race with absolutely no radio or communication from the team. They'd even lost the pit board. For years, I've advocated the driver being left out on the track on their own and not mollycoddled through all the problems that an orchestra of people back at base try and solve on their behalf. It should be the driver, an intrepid explorer using their wits to navigate the confusing melee of a modern Grand Prix and prove how good a driver they are. And in the case of Giovinazzi, finished 13th. Which I know isn't the hero's journey I'm implying, but that's because the odds were stacked against him. All the other drivers were cheating with all that data. If they'd have all had no radio, then actually I expect Giovinazzi would have done a lot worse. But anyway, think, if all the top drivers weren't informed about irritatingly precise bands of rain arriving on specific laps, then would Lewis have stayed out another lap? Would he have gone off? Would he have won his 100th race making an inspired decision to pit on his own? Or, more likely, would they have all crashed, which would be hilarious. But don't worry, I have a solution. The solution to radio is radio waves. Sections of the track that are split with jaggedy lines that the drivers have to weave down if they want to make or receive a radio message. Like threading through the polystyrene bollards if they go off. There's a significant time penalty unless you're Alonso. So if they really need to know about the weather, then just finding out is going to cost them time. A bit like when the speaking clock was a thing. Is it still a thing? I don't know. Do we know if the speaking clock's still a thing?
I have no idea.
Well, I found out that it kind of is, kind of isn't, but I've also found out there's a German speaking clock. There's actually a Belgian speaking clock. So I was gonna ring it live on air because I thought we could, like we are a local radio.
Belgian speaking clock, was it in Flemish?
No, there's a German language Belgian speaking clock.
Wow, that's very specific.
It's ringing.
Hey.
Okay, it's just going to go through forever. That's good.
That probably cost me like €20.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. You're probably the first person to call in quite a while.
That is it from us. It's goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. Oh, I haven't got one.
And Terry Saunders. haven't had time to talk about Romain Grosjean, who's doing very well on IndyCars. Well done him.
Bollocks.
Proving, like many Formula One drivers, that IndyCar is easy. Plug the mailing list.
Mailing list. We've actually been pretty good with the newsletter. We've done one every week. That's pretty good for us. And it's marginally entertaining, I think, even though we say so ourselves. So that should, sign up.
That should be our new slogan. FF1S. We've only forgotten one.
Sometimes it's all right.
And it's marginally entertaining. We'll be back in 2 weeks to discuss the Turkish Grand Prix in Turkey. But in the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1'sSake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1'sSake. And you can buy merch, can't you, Terry?
We haven't had time to talk about my PCR test has just come through and it's negative.
Yeah!
Which is amazing news, but also I've just wasted €50. So
I'm sorry.
You can go to it. So if you want to spend, I'd say €50 on merchandise, but we only get a small cut. So you probably have to spend £300-400 on T-shirts that are woefully out of date just to make me my money back on my PCR test. Go to fsmodest.com/shop/shop/shop PCR. We sell branded PCR kits for only €80.
Stop doing that.
I told you back when Heikki Kovalainen was a driver, we should have Heikki Kovalainen PVR test. And you were just going, oh, no.
PVR test? Tests?
PVC tests.
Terry, I did what you said. We've got 14,000 PVC tests.
All right, Matt Hancock.
Brilliant.
Thanks for listening. See you in a fortnight. I've been Chi Grez. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.